Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of That 80s Child, The Generation Y. And my name is Gabrielle. In this episode, we're diving into the dawn of the digital age, the 90s, when computers were making their way into more and more homes, but long before the internet became the all-consuming giant it is today. We'll explore the early days of social media, when connecting online was an adventure and the web was still in its infancy. Join us as we take a look back at what the internet was like before it took over our lives, how we communicated, and what it meant to be online in a time when it wasn't yet the focal point of everyday existence. So I wanted to talk about social media and the 90s and the differences between yesteryear and now. Because honestly, a lot of the people nowadays, especially when you're looking at TikTok and Reels and Stories or whatever social media platform you use, and the short form videos that people post that you might see come up, and a lot of them, or maybe it's just because it comes up on mine because of my podcast and what I search and the algorithm and my my demographic. So it comes up with all these people who are like, you know, the Zennials or the Gen Zs, and don't bother the Gen Xers because they haven't been saying anything. So because they're going to come out of the woodwork and have issues. Now, okay. Generational thing. Honestly, I don't think the baby boomers were like the biggest thing because of the fact that it was a ginormous jump in the world's, the United States is actually, but the world, after a world war, people coming home, having babies, it was the baby boom, okay? So it was a very specific and poignant part of our history, hence the name, hence it stuck, and hence how the generations were then hence called. However, I would like to do some more research as to where this generational naming came from and where it started. And I might have mentioned it quite a few times prior, but my father was of the silent generation. He was born in 1928. Neither of my parents really sat down and was like, well, in my day, they never did that. And they had all right to do that, okay, because of how fast and how much of a jump we were making in technology and seeing all this connectivity and how things were just changing, and just even television and our ways of communication were vastly making leaps and bounds than what it was. They never really sat down and were like, you know, maybe like the music, maybe it could have just like, it honestly maybe just evolved around the music, or not evolved, revolved around the music part of it. I think it was just because I was listening to some current music at the time. There was only the conversations that were ever like, this is what you're listening to, or, you know, in my day, this is what we used to listen to. It wasn't, and you know, my mom had like a huge record collection, very much a, you know, an audiophile, like loves music as much, you know, if not just as much as I do. And she's kind of created that in me, loving music and utilizing it to survive. But honestly, it was the only point that my parents ever made it to, like, well, you know, what it was like for them. Maybe prices, because that's like, I think, a constant, because it's constantly so much more expensive. I mean, we're talking about it just within a few years because of the inflation. It's like, oh, well, how much was a loaf of bread only a few years ago? How much was gas, a gallon of gas? I remember when I was in school, I could have a $5 bill and nearly fill my tank. Like, it was, kind of ridiculous, actually, and what it is today. And I have a love-hate relationship with social media. Obviously, I'm utilizing it to get this podcast out. I'm utilizing it to advertise. It's there. I'm using it. Am I making money off of it? No. But do I enjoy doing these? Yeah, I do. I like talking about it. And I did like having someone to, like, if anybody wanted to have a conversation about, you know, back and forth. I did have one person who recommended something, which I did actually review, and then they proceeded to say they don't want to listen to me anymore. I'm like, okay, fair enough. I don't know what I did, but okay. It still bothers me, and I don't, you know, it just, it bought, like, why? But they didn't say, so okay. Social media, I can't say that I didn't utilize the internet when it was out. I can't say that I didn't hide behind the screen like a lot of people did and continue to do. So let me just put that out there. No, regardless of what I say, in the end, I'm still doing something that requires the internet, requires social media, and I'm still hiding behind a screen. Okay. We had our first in-home computer. Now, I mean like actual computer that was going to be connected to something. We had a Commodore 64 prior. We had an IBM computer we had the little diskettes, and then we had the big floppy disks for the Commodore 64, which I would play Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, which was the best game ever on the Commodore 64. And then my dad had some sort of like database computer in our basement that was supposed to catalog his coins. I remember the old printer that we had, like the really, really old, like almost like a receipt printer. It was like, I don't even remember what it was called, but I never used that. But I know that he had my mom help because she was a typist. And, you know, I just remember seeing it, the blue screen and the text. That was literally all that it did. Where it saved, I don't know. It's still confusing to me. What were you getting out of this? If I knew then what I knew now, I would have definitely helped get this database up and running for my dad. But anyway, so our first real computer that was meant for that time was, I believe it was the end of 95, beginning of 96, round about there. So I was 12, 13 years old, and it was a Packard Bell, which then became Hewlett Packard or HP. And I actually have one of my monitors in an HP because, you know, I just like everything else for my computer is a Frankenstein's monster. So it's not going to match, but it's my bigger monitor. I have a smaller one for my other side information. Anyhow, so HP is very much alive right now. Whether it's good, I don't know. But the Packard Bell came with a 2 GB hard drive. And it cost over $2,000. I don't know the exact dollar amount, but I do recall my mom and dad talking about it. And even I kind of like balked at how expensive it was. And looking at it today, how much I spent on building my computer, I would have to say like less than $500. Granted, this computer did have some stuff that I inherited from my son's computer because he gets the nice high quality stuff and I'll get like the hand-me-downs because he games. I don't really PC game, I console game. So, but I also PC game, I just not to his extent. Eventually that Packard Bell became my own personal computer. It moved into my bedroom eventually, but that was our main computer for a little while. And we had something like the internet. I would not classify it as the internet per se. So we had something like the internet. It wasn't like, you know, we were connected. I don't know how. I can't remember exactly the particular brand of internet that we had. This was before AOL. We did not have CompuServe. I know CompuServe was pretty much the internet before. CompuServe was the internet. Okay. It was just, they were the ones that were connecting people. They were the ones that were going into like businesses and then like to the going down to the individual residential type of thing. So we had something, I think it was Earthlink that we had, or could have been Garden State Internet. I had to like do some research as to what was around at the time. I think Earthlink, that sounds familiar, but I wasn't part of the bill paying thing or how I just knew like I would get on the computer. We would, and it had like this really, I do remember the interface and I really liked that interface. It was kind of like a, for the kids part of it anyway, it was like a kid's playroom with like a bookcase and then you'd have like the World Wide Web. So you had, it looked like the universe and it would get online somehow. And then it would take absolutely forever for anything to come up. So my first thing, because at the time I was very much into the Monkees. They were my first band that I ever saw live, and I was watching. My mom had gotten me a new television with a VHS player attached to it. Subscribed to Columbia House for the VHS delivery monthly for the Monkees show episodes that would come in, and I still have them. they're all upstairs, they're all nice in a row and all like kept nicely, except for one did break a little bit. What I would do is I would go onto their website, so the monkey's website, and then it would come up with some stuff. It would take a little bit for it to load, and even the words, even the text, you know. So if I wanted to look at pictures, because they would have a gallery, and because you don't want the pictures to come up on the screen, they would be individually like hyperlinked to a separate page that would just load that one picture. So it would have like the link of the picture, and then you would go to the picture. I don't know if you guys remember that, or if anybody's listening to, and this is what we had to deal with back in my day. And what you would do is you would click on that picture, not knowing what it looked like. It was a surprise. And you would go away for a little while. You would go away for like an hour, maybe more. It depends on how big the picture was, how detailed it might have been. And then you would get a lovely pixelated picture that would eventually, when you came back, it would then be completely rendered at that point. And you'd be like, oh, that's nice. Now go back and then you look at the other ones. Or you'd print it out on your crappy printer. So try not to hit the stupid cord, because I don't want to have to disconnect this again. We did eventually upgrade to AOL, because AOL just became like this huge thing. And like a lot of people, I think we still have original AOL discs saying like, come join America Online. And you get your free email address. It was everywhere. So eventually, like I said, that Packard Bell would become mine, and my parents got a Gateway. So if you guys remember, the Gateway commercials always had like cows. The boxes were in a cow motif, like the design as like a cow, the black and white. I don't recall if it was done. I don't think it was done online. I'm like, wait, did we order that online? I highly doubt it, because of the speed in which that quote unquote internet was. So I think it was ordered probably from Sears or something, because my dad was a big, like, he was Sears. So it was Sears. That's what we would go to for just about everything. And they did have, like, electronics at the time. So it was, like, before, like, Best Buy and all that. Or at least before I shopped there. I don't know when Best Buy came out. Best Buy came out in 1966. So I didn't know that came out in 1966, but the consumer electronics was in 1983 was when it was an emphasis on that. It rebranded. Oh, it was an audio specialty store called Sound of Music, and it was rebranded under its current name with an emphasis on consumer electronics in 1983, Best Buy Co. Inc. Wow, interesting. Didn't know that. Didn't know it was around for that. Well, granted, it wasn't under Best Buy, but it was around for a while, and it's still going. Anyhow, so they eventually got a Gateway. We eventually got AOL. I still have my original AOL email. Do I utilize it? It's usually for spam. If I know I'm signing up for something that's going to have spam, it'll go there because I don't ever check it. So, yeah. So it's part of history. I got it when I was 16 years old. So, yeah. Actually, I think I had it when I was 15. Yeah, I think it was probably 15. Because other things, but I that can indicate as to how long ago it was. But yeah, about 15, I'd say. So I know that there was a lot of indication on my, there's people talking about chat rooms and what they were, and you're trying to explain it to the Gen Zs and the Gen Alphas and whatever, Gen XYZs, WXYZ, I don't care. But it's getting a little out of hand now, but you know. Or what is it, the Gen I's? So the Gen Alphas are like the iPhone generation, because they don't know anything prior to that. We should just have I should just go into a conversation of generations. That's a good idea. Let me write that down. Generational conversation. Where do I have my notes? A good idea, Gabrielle. Glad I thought of it. Generational chat origins. Okay, that's a good idea. Okay. All right. So I've been seeing a lot more people with that whole, like, their whole spiel and the shtick is nostalgic stuff, kind of like mine, but in shorter form, or they have their own podcasts. I should start listening to some of them. Maybe they can give me, I don't know. We'll see. I only listened to like one other podcast. So they were talking about chat rooms, and it's like, oh, you know, like what's a chat room? And, you know, by like the younger generation, and then our generation had to explain what they were. Here's my definition. It was full of disgusting, questionable people. But that is where the ASL, age, sex, location came from. I might have dabbled in a few. I don't recall a lot of, I might have went into a few that might have been specifically for like, say like the Monkey. So it's like all older people, or Duran Duran, Depeche Mode, whatever the heck I was into at the time. And you could find chat rooms that were talking about that. But for the most part, I swear it didn't matter. It could have been like how to mow your lawn. And it would just be like disgusting people trying to pick up other people, like probably pedophiles or whatever in there too. But dangerous. Don't talk to strangers. That should have been like a big thing. Anyway, people were exploring what the internet was able to provide them, and people were also exploring what you could get out of it. So like what it's providing and what you are going to get out. So, which kind of, I think, means the same thing, but what I'll leave that in. Anyhow. So we're exploring it, and then there's people who are exploiting it. How about that? You're exploring or exploiting. I was exploring with those disgusting individuals. So AOL Instant Messenger. Now that I could get behind. I actually had at the time, I think before it was a thing, I was cyberbullied on AOL Instant Messenger by a guy I went to school with. They actually created usernames that had my name in it and with other disgusting things within the title, and they would message me stating it was their girlfriend, and that, like, you know, I can't, you know, you're disgusting or whatever it was. And I'm like, okay, sure, it's your girlfriend. I don't believe that you had one, but, you know, for whatever reason, they didn't like me. Okay. All right, cool. You know, why do you, I'm not at school right now. I'm not bothering you. You don't have to see me. You don't have to even like hear me. You don't have to like, anyway. So yeah, I was cyber bullied before it was a thing, I guess. I'm sure people were cyber. I wasn't the only one. I'm not. I'm not that special. Regardless of that portion of my people in my, eventually people were giving out their screen names, what they were called. And you would hear the door opening and the door shutting. It was like, you know, the squeaky door opened and then the slamming door shut every time somebody would come on and off. But, you know, I also like to change all the sound effects on AOL and the PC. So anytime I would get a message, oh, and our away messages, I forgot to write that down. Now you would have your away messages. So you'd be online, which funny thing is that you're on dial-up. You had to get off if someone needed to use, I don't know why I had to look for my notes, like as if I didn't know, I lived it. But when you're on dial-up, and if you only had like one line, only one telephone number, if somebody needed to use the phone, you had to get off the internet. And, or if they picked up the receiver, you would get kicked off the internet, which was a pain in the butt, especially if you're waiting for something to download, which would take ages. And you're like, but eventually I did get my own line, and, you know, I was online when I would come home, so I could do an away message, like, and not that I was doing anything other than like having dinner right now or whatever. I wasn't a cool person. Like, I didn't go out with friends. I didn't do anything other than just sit at home or sleep. Probably reason why I can't sleep now is because I got all my sleep when I was a teenager. So you could have your away messages, and you'd have like the people who have like the cutesy hearts and like all the extra like things in there, or they would have lyrics to songs, whatever it was. So like if you were in a message them, it would come up with like away message, like not a, you know, like an answering machine. So you would sit there and create an away message that would, you know, give away how you were feeling at the times, like life isn't worth leading, or like, you know, I can't stay awake, I'm gonna go take a nap. I don't know. Like I said, I led a very, very, very dull and sheltered life, but I did go online and I changed all the sound effects. So instead of like the I think I left the open door and the closing door. But like when I would get a message, it would say, It was Enjoy the Silence for Depeche Mode. So it was like a blip in AOL. You could go and you can get WAV files. You would like have, they would have like a whole library of WAV files. In the library, you can search music, you could search sound effects, you can search, I don't know, like people saying things in certain lines of movies, whatever it is. So I found, because I loved Depeche Mode, at the time when I was on AOL and we had our gateway computer, I graduated from the Monkees and I was very much into like Duran Duran and Depeche Mode. I was like, I went from the 60s to the 80s. I completely skipped over the 70s. Sorry if you like 70s music. I love some 70s music, not disco so much, but yeah. So in that, I found Enjoy the Silence, and they had, so if you're going to have like an instant message, and it would say words are very unnecessary. Okay. I liked to be poetic like that. And it was for only for my own benefit. It wasn't like anybody else could hear it unless you were in my house, which would be weird, unless you were my mom and dad or my brother. I also changed the startup and the shutting down sounds for the computer. So back in the day when you had your computer, you would like, I leave mine on and it goes to like, it hibernates. Back in the day when you would shut it down, you would have to say, okay, I'm going to shut it down. And then it would do this whole thing in the spiel and shut down. And then you can turn it off. Then you had to actually click it off with the button. Because it's like, okay, it's now safe to turn off your computer. I don't know if I had forgotten that little bit of it. But I was like watching a video, like a nostalgic video of old things. And I was like, oh my God, yeah. I mean, it's not like I forgot. It's just like I haven't done it in so long. It's just like, oh yeah, I remember. Remember having to wait, and then you could shut it off. So there was that. So besides AOL Instant Messenger, which was my pretty much my go-to, there was ICQ. I don't know if you guys, I don't know if that was because my mom used it and it was for older people. I don't know. I don't know if you guys used ICQ as well in my age bracket. Who knows? Like I said, sheltered life, whatever. But I spoke to people from Turkey. And there was this one guy who was going into basketball, apparently. I don't know if he's like, was like, I know like in Turkey, apparently basketball is like a big thing. Didn't know that at the time. Very nice guy, you know, but he was older than I was. And I was 16 at the time. Or actually, yeah, I was 16 at the time. So sketchy, probably, you know, do I agree with that happening now? Absolutely not. But like I wasn't going anywhere, and the guy was like, and I think that's the reason why I chose a lot of like countries far, far, far away, because if I ended up start talking to somebody that was local, there might be more of a chance of like meeting. And I no, the whole point of the internet is so that I could stay away from actual people and just be in a hole in my house, in my bubble behind screen, so I didn't have to see people. That was the point, right? At least for me. And I actually eventually met my son's father through ICQ before it was cool to meet online. Also, but not ICQ, but on Instant Messenger. I can't remember how or where I was and how he got my name, unless I was perhaps in a chat room at the time. But I highly doubt it, because, I dabbled in chat rooms. Like, I just kind of went in there and just looked at it, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing this. This is not me. But I don't know, like, they found me, and it probably was, I think it was like, if you put yourself out there to be searched and to be able to be contacted via like AOL, like, whether, I don't know if it was like your email, but it was like your Instagram, well, the same thing. they can message you. And I had this person who came up with like, Hamilton sucks, and that's where I used to live, was Hamilton, New Jersey, if you didn't know. And I was like, oh, well, that's all a matter of opinion. Now, far be it for me for sticking up for a place that I really had no love lost for, you know what I'm saying? Like, I had lived in that area for almost 3 decades, and it brought me nothing but misery. So I really don't know if I have like a love-hate relationship. But at the time, I'm like, it's all a matter of opinion, just because I wanted to be a smart ass, I guess. And I got to talking, and this guy lived in Hamilton, a little bit older than I was, again, red flag. didn't go to the school I went to. I went to a Catholic school. He went to the public school. And it was like the first time I was actually talking to a dude that didn't know me from school. So I wasn't like being tainted by whatever people were fucking saying at the time. Excuse my language. But this is the way it's going to be. It was interesting. And it was the first dude I was talking to. The first guy I was really talking to that I was interested in and all that lovely stuff. So, yeah. And eventually he was be my first kiss. So met him online. Look at that. Look at me. I am so advanced. But yeah, it was interesting. Do I miss that time? Yes, I do. It was such a simpler time, as most people say from decades prior. It was a simpler time. But I don't mean it in the same sense as like my mom and dad might have said it. Like if they did ever say it, I don't think they ever did. But as in like, or at least my mom would tell me like they would be out all the time. But so would we. Like I know that you would wait until the streetlights would come on. You would be outside. Your parents weren't with you all the time. I'd be outside until like dusk and then I'd come in. And not once did they like, where are you? What are you doing? You know, like you're just out and you're doing I guess they trusted you enough to, you know, not do stupid things, or they trusted themselves enough to have taught you to not do stupid things. I don't know. Or I had irresponsible parents. Could have been that too. And I'm just lucky to be alive right now. It was, I think at least with, and I'll get to this at the very end really quick. I'm not going to go, I can go into this for hours if you let me, but I'm not going to. About how much the social media is the mass destruction of this world. Anyhow, so email was huge, and I remember I had saved my emails. I just found on my diskettes saved instant messages and emails. I even printed them out. I don't know if I still have that. I think I might have thrown that away, which is surprising because I don't usually throw a lot of stuff away. I'm not a pack rat like my dad, but I'm very sentimental when it comes to certain things. And the emails that I printed out were sentimental for different reasons. It wasn't even from specifically if it was from a guy or whatever. It was like from people who I was friends with. And we shared some like deep conversation. And I was like, so emails at the time were less about spam and less about like how we can get your money from you or business. It's not just like because you're at work and you have to use the emails to utilize it that way. It was more about communicating. It was like the newfound letter. I was able to get, pen pals, virtual pen pals from through the email because it was viewed as a virtual letter rather than it being just like some other form of communication that we see it now, because we still use email. Obviously we have to sign up for email for everything, but that's really all that it is. It's just some place, a central part that we can say, okay, this is where we exist, and if we forget our password, that is where it will be emailed to. But we don't really utilize it as like a letter, like to talk to somebody or whatever, like specifically text messages now, right? Or direct messaging, right? It's this, I don't see email as it was before. And I actually was on an email group with a girl at school. So there was like a bunch of people that we all emailed back and forth. Some of it came, like we had surveys that we would send out and answer, or we would have questions that we would come back and write about. I really enjoyed that. And those were like the emails that I sent, that I saved. I might have saved. I don't even know if I have them anymore. Doubtful, but because I don't recall seeing them anytime recently. Another thing that was utilized at the time, especially towards the end of the 90s and the early 2000s, downloading music before it was illegal. I guess it was always technically illegal. Like you're getting it from like an alternate source, but there were no laws against it at the time. So there was until like, you know, obviously lawsuits were happening and people's internet usage was getting like subpoenaed and seeing if like, what were you downloading? So we would have like Kazaa, Napster, LimeWire. I never used LimeWire. Kazaa and Napster were kind of like my go-to if I did. Technically, I never used it. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Y2K. Yeah, so that didn't happen, did it? Everybody was like having like a freak out when it was going to go from the 1900s to the 2000s. And little did they know the computers were a whole lot smarter than that. They thought, like, you know, stock markets were going to go down. The banking centers were going to go down. It was a whole freaking thing. And it just changed over. It was like, okay, you know, it wasn't that bad. But I don't even remember, for at least for us, you know, like in my household, we weren't like, oh my God, what are we going to do? It was never like a point of worry, I guess. It wasn't something that we thought about. AOL Hometown. So in my senior year, so this would have been 2000, 2001. So not the 90s per se, but it might as well have been. It was like the 90s graduated. I had a desktop publishing class. So my senior year, you were able to actually have certain electives. There you go. Couldn't remember the free. You had a couple of electives that you could take. Now, one of the electives I chose was like oceanography, because I just was like, are we going to go on a boat? Can we look at some like fish and stuff? It didn't happen. I was at a parochial school. So I was at a Catholic school. The thing that I thought that was going to actually happen, to think that I even believed it would happen, is crazy. Because like they consistently were trying to fix the roof in the gym for years and years and years. Do you think I was actually going to get on a trip on a boat? So they said that it was lack of participation, or like people electing. I highly doubt it. I think there were a lot of people. I just think it wasn't in their budget. Not that it would have helped me. I even took physics as an elective. And the teacher felt so bad for me. They passed me because I tried. But I am not math and me. We don't work. Like, I can do your basic math. I can do basic algebra. I can do basic fractions. I'm not a dunce. I'm not as stupid as like a rock or anything. But if you are going to give me like these really, like, I was even telling my son, we were going into like word problems. It's like, not the whole like train thing, but it was like something like it. It's just like, if the train's leaving at 5 o'clock and it's going at 50 miles an hour and it needs to get there by, you know, 7 o'clock, blah, blah, blah. Tom is holding some apples. How many pencils would he have? You know, it just sounds so utterly ridiculous. I would get lost halfway in the train travel. Like what? Math, I don't know what it is in my head, why I can't wrap it around these things. Even if I take my, like, I had to take remedial classes when I went back to college, and I had to test in. I tested into college level English, thank freaking God. I'm not an idiot, but I had to go into remedial math. Like, I had to go and do, like, I think it was two remedial. Like, it wasn't as bad as I thought, okay? But still, I still had to take extra math courses to get to college level because I was stupid. And even doing that, and I had a great teacher. Was it eighth grade? Yeah, had to have been eighth grade, because seventh grade, I almost flunked out of seventh grade. I might have had to repeat that. And that wasn't because of lack of wanting to do schoolwork. I think I mentioned this before. It was because I was very badly bullied and I didn't want to be. I just shut down. But eighth grade, I got second honors the whole year because I said, F it, I'm just going to focus on my work. But it was very difficult to focus on my work when you're being talked about all the time. It's crazy. It's crazy how that works. But eighth grade, it was Sister Anna. Sister Anna? Sister Anna. Was it Sister? Yeah, Sister Rose was the other one. I love Sister Rose. She's probably gone now. They're probably all gone. They were old then. So there's very few of the nuns that I really liked. Sister Betty Jean, who was the principal before Sister Barbara, who was a piece of work. She was awesome. She knew how to talk to children. Sister Barbara, I swear to God, was just like, you know, a warden in a prison. That's what she was. Sister Frances was a quarterbacker who liked to spit at you. Okay. She was scary. But Sister Anna, she was very strict, but she wanted you to learn, which, you know, that's a novel idea. And I had to constantly go into, cause we would have the trailers out in the back. And I had to go to like special ed because I was special, and I had to have extra work for the math. And It was Mrs. Wyckoff. I can remember all of these gosh darn names, right? Stupid. I can't, but I can't do math. And she would, I would have to take extra stuff. But because I was having to go out to those, doing those extra work at in the trailer, it was actually taking away from me going to my math. We had like six or seven different periods. Math was one of them. And when I had to go out to the trailer, it was around the same time as I was like, well, this is the reason why she's not doing good in math. So Sister Anna actually said, like, I want her out of the trailer of this extra work because she's actually not getting any better because you keep taking her from the class. It's true, because I wasn't actually learning. I was learning the stuff that was already behind, and then I was consistently behind because I wasn't there when they were learning the new stuff. So what Sister Anna did is that she, because I had issues with fractions, I still do. Okay, I can't. But they had like the improper fractions and the mixed numbers. She gave me a huge packet. Like, I want to say it was like 300 pages long. This thing was ridiculous, and I had to work it through until I got it. And I did. I, like I said, I got second honors that whole entire year. I even got an award that said, like, most improved, because I went from nearly flunking out of the actual grade to getting second honor. So, yay! I'm not stupid. So, Sister Anna, you're wherever you may be, thank you. You did help me. Do I remember that stuff? Not really. I'm so sorry. But I don't use it on a daily basis. So, sorry. But my brain does not work that way. Desktop publishing is what I was saying. Sister Dorothy was the desktop publishing teacher, which at first we had to learn typing. Which, by the way, I still don't do home row. I don't do that. I can't do that. I don't roam. I don't have the two fingers. I work with all of them. But I don't sit them at home row. What I had to do was because in order to pass the typing part, you had to do stuff like Mavis. Do you remember Mavis, like the typing thing? And then you would have like a test at the end where she would cover your hand over the keyboard and you'd have to go and do it without looking down at the keyboard. So because I could not coordinate my fingers properly, and I could never do it. I even tried to teach myself again later on in life. It's still so I pretty much memorized the keyboard so that now I don't look at the keyboard, but I also don't use home row, and I type just as not as fast as my mom. My mom was a speed demon, but I can type. If I had to go and do secretarial work, I could do it. I would actually be able to get the 60 words per minute. You know what I'm saying? So I made sure I was able to do it without having to worry about the home row. And thankfully, because my fingers were covered, she couldn't see where they were and how I was typing them. So I just got it within the time I was allotted. So look at me go. But in desktop publishing, we were able to create a website. And I already had one on AOL Hometown. And I think that and my pre-calculus teacher, I believe the content that I had on my AOL Hometown and my pre-calculus teacher is what got me having to talk to a psychiatrist in school, which was fun. Another story. I'll do that at another time. Cliffhanger. No. Check it out in another one if I remember to do it. I had a website on there, so that's what I used to do. On my desktop publishing class, I would just, update my website. They got rid of AOL Hometown, and I forgot because they sent out an email to my original email that I don't use anymore. And when I checked it randomly, I'm like, oh, they're getting rid of that? You were able to upload your information that you had up there by a certain point. Otherwise, it would be lost. And of course, I forgot. So that's gone. And that would have been from, like I said, 2000. If not earlier. Then there was LiveJournal, which came out in March of 1999. I did not use LiveJournal because I was emo or goth, or I wasn't goth. Like, I didn't do any, like, we had uniforms. There was no way I could have been goth anyway. But I was probably of like the emo variety, I guess, as you would call it, like whatever the hell they call them nowadays. If there is that anymore, I don't even know. But like, I had dead journal. I was like, screw LiveJournal. Let's just go with dead journal. So I had that, and you can still access that. And I was able to like reread some of the stuff, which is absurd, the stuff that I cared about. But when you have the lack of responsibility, it is the absurd things that you worry about. So online gaming really wasn't, I don't remember online gaming on my end. However, did you know that online gaming, when I was researching this, started in the 70s? And that was with computers networked to a central computer. So it wasn't so much like, it is what the internet is based off of. It's like we are all connected to some central point, hence the reason why we're all interconnected. So this was just a smaller scale part of it. So like you're in the room, you have one room, like one computer in the center of the room, and then you're all connected to it and you're playing a game together. So yeah, that was in the 70s, right? That's crazy. I didn't all the way back then, at least for online gaming. I knew they had computers, okay? The rise of online gaming was in the 90s. So when you had more people like getting computers in their houses and everybody and like people were starting to hop on to be online. And I would say probably around the same time as when I was getting my computer, like 95, 96, 97 is when it was like a ginormous like push and rush of people who just, you know, all decided to get connected. And so, yeah, we did play games on the PC. I remember Operation Weather Disaster, which we got off the Scholastic Book Club, order form. I'm still looking to get a copy of that damn game, because we don't run Windows 95 anymore, I used to have the disk, but one, I don't have a CD-ROM drive, which I can in my computer, but most computers nowadays don't even have that anymore. But I do have it, but the system is too new. And the how it needs to run, you need to get like an emulator or something like that. So I'm working towards being able to play a 1995 game because I loved it so much. That's how I learned how to distinguish the temperatures between what the types of snowflakes form in different temperatures, and also how to convert Celsius to Fahrenheit and backwards. Okay. And I loved that game, yet I learned stuff, okay? It was the greatest. Anyway, so yeah, we didn't play a lot of video games. Like, we were console gamers, but then even when I got older, even when both my brother and I got older, we didn't really play. We played, like, The Sims and stuff like that on the computer, but it wasn't so much, like, PC gaming. We were console gamers. It's my son who has since gotten me into more of a PC gaming rather than just console. And the rise of Steam! Anyway. So you had your printers with, like, it was, like, the dot matrix printers where it was just dotting everything. It would take forever to print your homework on. That's all I know. Is like, if I forgot to print it before the night before when I was done, I would have to be like, boot the computer up, which would take freaking forever. And then you would be like, where's the file? And then you have to print it. And then it would like, there goes the bus. Mom, you're gonna have to take me in, which I never understood why I had to take the damn bus. We were not that far away from school. And my mom was a stay-at-home mom. She did not work. You could have taken me, and I didn't have to deal with that struggle bus, quite literally. You know, you could have saved me just a little bit more of anguish if you could have just taken me. But by that time, I was driving when I was a senior. But I digress. It would take forever. And then if you were to print out a picture, one, it would take 50 times longer also, depending on how big the picture is and how detailed it was. But you would also get a nice, lovely pixelated one. So if you love pixelated things, this is the printer for you. So that's really all I had for notes. I'm sure I've missed there's a gazillion other things that can go into like the online stuff. Those are the things that I particularly remember and like, you know, is nostalgic for me to think back at it. So like I was saying before, what are my thoughts overall with between the 90s and the today? I think that we had a sense of innocence. Were there still things that were happening on the internet that were questionable and should have been looked at a little bit and with, you know, more care? Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, that hasn't really changed. If not, it's just gotten worse just because of the abundance of people that are utilizing the internet. But it wasn't the focal point. We were not gather around the computer, guys. You know, it wasn't like that until later. It wasn't like that. I don't, honestly, because I work on a computer all day. I don't really go on this on my computer here unless I'm recording or editing or I'm doing something specific, but I don't sit in front of it. But however, there are a lot of people who do. They'll even work all day on a computer and come home and be in front of their computer all day. And then you have the people who their jobs as quote unquote influencers or YouTubers or whatever the heck they are, that's all they are is in front of it. And most of the people, I don't want to say like, I would say within the last 15 years, I'd say like the start of YouTube, right? Those people still kind of knew what it was like without the internet, because they're like, they're still millennials, but they're like the younger millennials. But they still knew what it was like prior to having internet and the computer and what else was out there. But then you have the newer generation, like my son, who's a Gen Z, and then the newer generation with the Gen Alphas or the iPhone generation. Like my son, we didn't have cell phones until, like, because they were just expensive. Because, like, in the very beginning with having to, like, you would have to get charged every time you sent a text message. It was just ridiculous. I couldn't afford it. So we didn't actually get a proper cell phone until 2011. That's when I got like a proper contract and I got like proper phones. So he was not around cell phones or iPads or anything of the like until much later. And I think that really helped him to develop a little bit more understanding of what it's like to not be there. But he is in front of his computer most of the day. And everything that we do, I mean, especially now even with television, because what did I do when I came home from school? Well, I did go out to play, you know, or I would just play in my room or read. But we would play video games or we'd watch television. So it's just, I guess it's, I know it's the change of the time. I know I'm going to have to edit the shit out of this. I think we have to take a step back. We're not as connected as we think we are. We're actually more disconnected than ever. And as much as I say, like, I don't want to see people, I don't want to be around people. You know, it depends on the people. Let me just put it that way. Like, I have a few good friends that I love hanging out with. Not all the time, because you want to have time for yourself. But I still want to hang out with them. I still want to see them. I just don't know whether or not this generation really cares to... do they have enough... It's like The Sims. Is there a bar in social... The social bar... You can, in the new Sims, all you have to do is go on the computer and chat with people on the computer to get social bar, the percentage to go up. Before, even in The Sims, you had to go out or talk to somebody on the phone, or you had to go out and invite somebody over to fill that social bar. So, like, think of it that way. Like, is social media from back then the older Sims, where you actually had to just go out and still be a human being in the sun? Or is it the new Sims 4, where all you have to do is just flip up on your computer or phone or whatever internet device that you have that's connected, quote unquote, to fill up your social bar? You know, is that all you require? Like, no FaceTime? And I think that's the reason why people get so offended. That's people that are just so touchy, and like, because they're not connected to reality. They're not connected to the world outside. And the moment that they are, it's scary. Like, and I think it becomes very, very much overwhelming for them to be able to go out and be like, oh my God, what is this? We've already dealt with it. We've dealt with both sides. Whereas they haven't dealt with it at all. They've just been bubble-fied by internet. It's internet bubble wrap, social media, you know? Not internet. It's not the internet's fault. It's the social media part's fault. I keep saying it. We're connected by the internet, but it's the social media that makes it not great. You know, like, makes it not connected. It's mostly like social media. It's like, you know, it divides people so much more than it used to. people always had opinions. That's always been there. Doesn't have anything to do with this, but it's just like now it's just those opinions offend, and it the social media then, like, it's an infection. I think, not that I want everything from the 90s back. I still like some of the things that has come out now, and I would miss them if I didn't have them anymore. Like, I think my biggest thing is the on-demand music. Honestly, if I could take away everything else, just as long as I had that, I'd go back to the 90s, yeah. But I need to have that access to, like, all the music. So I will say that. And that's the other thing. Also, everything being on demand. Now. Not, like, waiting for things. Although I think people are starting to catch on to that because, I believe, because when we had, like, the streaming services where you would just put everything on there, you can just binge watch everything instead of, like, waiting a week to, like, every Thursday night, catch us again next Thursday night and find out what happens too, blah, 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 you know? So, I don't know. Love-hate relationship with social media. It's useful in some aspects, but I think in the broader, like, honestly, more. Like, I'd say 80% of the time it's useless, and then there is 20% good use out of it, but the rest of it is just a bunch of trash. Bring back the internet of the 90s, please. with just a little extra with the music, okay? I will still gladly pay a fee every month just so I could have all of the music. It's like it is an addiction, okay? I need to have all of the music. That's it. YouTube is also, I find, not the YouTube sensations, not the Let's Plays, not the podcasts, not my podcast, not anything else. It's being able to find the old commercials or the old things that we remember randomly, and you can see a video of it. That's kind of like just that, all of that all together is just a nice thing to have, minus all the other influencer BS. So I think we could cherry pick some stuff. I think we could make a really awesome social media internet. Can we just have like a branch off, like the multiverse? Let this, you know, universe kind of do it, like explode, self implode later. And then we can just go off on this other nice little forked out area where we have that nice balance of the 90s and current social media, internet, and just way of life. If we can do that, that would be awesome. I'm on it. Let's do this. Well, that's all I have for this episode of That 80s Child, The Generation Y, where we've taken a nostalgic look at the early days of the internet and social media in the 90s. It's incredible to think about how far we've come from those first dial-up connections and chat rooms to the always-on, always-connected world we live in today. As always, if you enjoyed this trip down memory lane, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your fellow 80s and 90s kids. Remember, the past might be behind us, but its impact is still felt every time we log on. Until next time, keep those memories alive. Bye.